Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, Kelly O'Connell here. It is the 10th day of the 11th month, November 2020, and a lot of interesting things going on. Good morning to you, and I hope you're feeling well. So I wrote this article that I've been talking about a couple of days. I'm waiting for Canada Free Press to put up this link to this show right here, which I originally started this show in, I think, 2011 with Canada Free Press out of Toronto, and then got into commercial radio. And then back here now is where I started doing articles and doing shows. But here is what happened. I wrote an article, and it is called "Unbelievable George Soros Employee Owns Defective Switch Vote Biden Machines." It has gotten 77 comments, which is quite a few, but it has reached 3.4 thousand shares and almost about 3,500 shares, and it's only been up for a day, which tells me there's a lot of interest in this topic, probably the number one topic out there right now. Was there voter fraud? And if there was voter fraud, then is it provable? And was it big enough to change the election? And, you know, so we know that Trump will fight because that's Trump's nature. That's what's great about the guy. So I can't really tell. I forget how you tell if anybody's listening, but it's this show right now is not being promoted anywhere. So I had a guy call in a couple of days ago who was a great guest and African-American man in his 70s. And his name was Pinksy or something like that. But that was just a made up name to protect his identity. But he and I pretty much agreed on everything across the board. But oh, here's the question in this article, and then I'm going to get on to some other stuff related to this. The person who owns the voting machines in the United States, a large percentage of them, which are called smart, he is a very, very good friend of George Soros, Smartmatic. And it works with Dominion Voting Systems. And what I found out last night was that at one time, they're trying to figure out what the connection is between Smartmatic and the companies that build the applications and software. And it turns out that Dominion Voting Systems, which has been roundly criticized. If you go back, there was a Sequoia voting software company that I think how it happened is Smartmatic bought that company and then got criticized that they were doing both the software and the machines. And so they sold it and then Dominion bought it. But I mean, it's hard to separate the two when you have something like this going on. And so all of the states where the strange, where Donald Trump went to bed ahead and woke up and was starting to lose it, And across the board, the explanations that they came up with were not persuasive. And so then the question is, well, what really happened? And people are trying to figure out now, if you don't believe that you could lose 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania, where George, or, you know, Biden came back, then you have to figure out what happened. And there's a couple of different theories out there. One theory is the bringing in of a lot of ballots. And so in a lot of these states, ballots were sent to everybody. I think it was 11 states, or wait, I think it was maybe 14 states, had sent out ballots to everybody. Now, the problem with that is that the voter rolls are not kept up a lot of times. And so Wisconsin was sued to get rid of 205,000 people on the voter rolls that are not supposed to be there. The judge agreed to that, and then immediately afterwards, they were sued to reverse that, and they reversed it. So I don't know what happened to those 200,000 people on the voter rolls in Wisconsin, other than to say that they were left on there. Now, does that mean that felons voted? I don't know. I'd have to do some more research into it, but it kind of gives you one of the many, many, many details in this situation that's so much more complicated than the average person realized. But here's the main thing. When Biden ended up, and people said, oh, how could Trump lose everything at the end in all these states? And the response was, well, you got to understand that we held all of the mail-in ballots till the end, and they were uniformly for Biden. And then there's this story out there that giant caches of ballots were just for one person. They were for Biden. And then you've got another story, which I believe in Michigan, this same software, Smartmatic and Dominion voting systems were used, and it caused a flip. And it flipped over from Trump to Biden, and they caught it. It was 6,000 votes. But so here's the question. How many counties across the United States did this flip happen? Are these machines that are built by one of the best friends of George Soros, and he's the CEO or the chief officer there? Do they have a design flaw, or do they have a purposeful design element where if you push a button, it flips votes? And so if you go back and look through the history of these machines, we're talking about going back into the early part of the 2000s. And if you recall, when George Bush beat Al Gore, there was this furious demand for electronic machines. And so as that began to take place, what people were not thinking about was that the fact of the matter is that machines can lose stuff, whereas paper ballots can be lost. But, you know, if they're not lost, there's a record. And I mean, you know, I'm not assuming that they would ever be lost, except stuff happens. But you've got a physical thing in your hand. So there's so many different things that are going on here, but the history of Dominion voting systems and Smartmatic is very, very shaky. I believe the first voting that machines that were ever put out there was for Venezuela. Somehow Venezuela became a part owner of this company. And despite the fact that Jimmy Carter gave some thumbs up on this, there was massive vote irregularities. And so when Chavez, who was the dictator at the time, was getting ready for the vote, he was down 40 to 60, 44 him and 60% against him. And then when the vote finished up, he was 52 to 48. So it's almost like at the very beginning of these machines, they were designed for fraud. Now, there's another there's another story of what happened in Venezuela, which was a million extra votes appeared out of nowhere. And, of course, the company blames it on the Venezuelans. But you don't have them running the machines, right? I mean, they're not trained for that. These are brand new machines. And so a lot of other problems in Philippines, 2006 maybe, there was a lot of problems with these machines, and there was a lot of fury that was pointed at the these companies, to the extent that they were talking about suing the companies because it was considered so poorly run that it was like a fraud. So, and here's George Soros in the middle of it. So I read somewhere that he had invested $500 million into America. I mean, think of all the great stuff that he got. You know, he put into office these DAs. These DAs that are super corrupt, or not corrupt, but they're super to the left. Well, they are corrupt because they won't prosecute the crimes that the legislature has told them to do. So you end up with hellholes like San Francisco and Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles. Go across the United States. Any place where you have a Soros DA, you have a breakdown of society. So why does he want that? So here's this guy when he was a kid. He was helping the Nazis take away stuff from his own people. And then he gets really into philosophy as he's you know, he's very good with money. Obviously, he's made over $30 billion, probably $40 billion in trading and such. But he likes to fiddle with people, and he's got a real beef with the United States. He doesn't like it. Although he talks all the talk, he's in favor of democracy, liberty, freedom, and all these things. He's constantly undermining it. He's 90 years old, and although he's still functional, he's got to think that, you know, this is the end of the line pretty soon. So, you know, and my article just hit 3,500 shares and 81 comments, so it just keeps going on. People are very interested. I'd like to think the article was well written, but, you know, much more than that, people are interested in what this Soros is up to, and he's seen as a person, he's widely feared, and the United States doesn't seem to have ever stood up to this guy, and my question is why. And they even mentioned his name the other day, Newt Gingrich on Fox News, and somebody from off camera said, you don't need to mention this guy. He has nothing to do with this. And then Newt says, well, he's the one who's funding these Soros DAs. There was an argument, and then there was a long, awkward silence. So he appears to have shaken up Fox, got their attention. And then, you know, Disney owns Fox now. So, and there's somebody working at Fox who was highly placed in the Biden campaign, or the Biden whatever a year or two ago. So all of these people are infiltrated. It seems like, doesn't it seem like that there's no end to the number of people who self-identify as to the left, as to socialism or socialism light, a third way, democratic socialism is what they call it. So what's that about? I think that Christianity is not seen as what it used to be. It used to be seen as the driver and the opinion maker, the moral and ethical, the religious element in society. And I think that's over. And so people are always looking for ways to better themselves or to increase their popularity, right? Their opinion in other people's minds. And I think that's part of it. But I think something deeper is going on is people are identifying with socialism because they see it as a true religion, that it's not hocus pocus, that you don't have an ark, you know, you don't have all these animals created in the Garden of Eden. You don't have somebody dying and coming back to life 3 days later. You don't have all of these things that a scientifically minded person might object to. And instead, you've got a way to help people. And really, if you look at the history of socialism, you'll find out what happened in those days, what happened when socialism was developed. It was meant to take the place of religion because it was kind of religion light. It was socialism is basically based on, and they see it as people who commented at the time, the guy's name was Comte, Auguste Comte. He had a lot of mental problems, but he was also very influential, and he invented socialism, or not socialism, but what's the name of that? Anyway, invent. So, but he basically did in a way, because he wanted a society run by scientists, because science was the cachet. It was at the time in the days in France of the Enlightenment. All right, so what's the stuff that people study when they don't want to work too hard in school? I have a degree in not socialism, but anyway, I'm tired. But anyways, it had an enormous effect. And what they did, what they called it like a Catholic church without a God in it. And so the liberal mindset is to take over all charity and all control of the poor and everything else, and to design the society in such a way that everybody is cared for. So you also have the idea there of utopia. And ultimately, they're going to save people by getting them into utopia, in a nutshell. So now you've got this guy who's kind of this mindset, George Soros. He's of this mindset that he wants to basically, he sees America as the problem in the world. And I think that if you were to say he was criminally insane, it almost seems like it, because he had talked in some of some articles about having a megalomania. And so in his mind, he's got the influence because he's so rich. He's super rich. Now, all his money is transferred over, most of his money. I think he's got $8 billion left. But about 30 to maybe $35 billion are transferred over to the Open Society, Open Society group, which supposedly uses Karl Popper as its role model. They're going to make a scientific society. You know, Karl Popper was this guy who really kind of he wrote about the scientific method and was very influential. And so that is who George Soros claims to follow, but he's really following Marx. He's really he's following totalitarians. He wants to see society fight and collapse. He's obviously very self-righteous. He's very interested in controlling other people and believes that his ideas are best. You know, most people think their ideas are best or they wouldn't believe in them. But I mean, to work on controlling others and to kind of turn them into slaves of the state, it's kind of an evil thing. I mean, without a doubt, you know. And so what happened when they did it in Russia, what happened when they did it in China, is that massive numbers of people were murdered. You know, 100 million to 200 million people were murdered in those two countries. And for what? People are generally difficult to manage. 100%. That's why people, most people want freedom. So if the government decides it wants you to do something and you don't, and they have total power and there's no human rights, then what's to stop them? But, you know, in the case of, say, Stalin, who killed something like 70 million people, it was not clear why he was killing people. It's as if he got in the habit and couldn't give it up. Very, very evil thing. So anyway, back to this election. Donald Trump is not going to give up. Do you agree with that? I mean, I sure do. Let me ask you this. And the left is saying, you know, you've got to do the right thing. You've got to give up and stop fighting so we can have peace. They spent 4 years attacking every single thing that this guy did. Who amongst them ever said they wanted peace? I mean, just a few people. You know, you've got just the other day, you've got Bruce Springsteen talking about how terrible Trump was. And all these people say the same thing always. It's just these kind of personal attacks, corrupt, liar, narcissist, you know, stuff that doesn't even, you know, where's the lies? I mean, the guy's done everything he can to keep his promises. Isn't that a truth teller? And so, you know, you've got the fury that has been whipped up by these you know, people who started the Russia hoax, who started the impeachment hoax, that constantly criticized everything Trump did and tried to get him in trouble. And now they're saying as soon as this guy gets out of office, he's going to get prosecuted and he's going to end up with a felony and in prison. And I mean, what has the guy done? I mean, isn't it obvious? He's not the Hitler who they claimed he was. He stops wars. He doesn't get into them. He doesn't steal. He's lost billions being president. So I think he's been a hell of a president. Not perfect, but, you know. So there's no reason to believe, though, that Joe Biden appointed him, because Joe Biden couldn't get anybody to show up to his events. I mean, literally a handful of people, and they were virtually everybody at one of his events was either a campaign worker or a reporter. Now, the reporters hung around waiting to ask him questions, and were not able to because he wasn't answering him. But they would defend Biden from beginning to end, and they didn't care about the story about his son going to China, going to Russia, going to Ukraine, and every kind of place like that, and making tens of millions, 40, 50, 60 million, 100 million, whatever they made, and that he's a drug addict. Just a relentless drug addict, that he's a pervert, all these different things that were basically proved about Hunter Biden. But the real shocking part of it is that Joe, who said he had no idea what Hunter was doing. Can you imagine that? Your kid is constantly getting in trouble for being high, getting DUIs, getting arrested, and you make a virtue out of never asking him what he's up to. He rides the plane with Biden, and he shows up in Russia, he shows up in China, and suddenly has $1.5 billion from China to invest. He's got tens of millions of dollars from China as well, just paid him for connections, and Russia did the same thing. He got $3.5 billion from the widow of the Moscow mayor. So an extremely corrupt family. And so would Trump do something like put a independent prosecutor on him? It's an idea, isn't it? So let's get back to the question of the day. Did some sort of a miracle happen that caused Biden to win all these races in different states at the last minute? And don't forget, in that the evening when he was behind, they shut all of these places down, these poll places, and for the counting, and they wouldn't let people in a lot of them. But supposedly, very large amounts of ballots showed up. Now, if it happened in Venezuela, couldn't it have happened in Philly? That a million extra votes showed up? I mean, obviously the machines have a capability of doing that. Would you maybe even see them as being the purpose of these machines? Because from the very beginning, they were used to defraud and mislead and to throw elections. So hacking. What would it take to hack? And so there is a website that covers some of this. This is a couple of years ago. So Sequoia was the first company. It was acquired by Dominion Voting Systems. And Sequoia was, now get this, Sequoia was originally acquired by Smartmatic. So you've got basically the largest voting system in the country owned by a guy that owns vote machines who is the best friend of George Soros. Now, in 2004, just a year before, Hugo Chavez-led Venezuelan government chose Smartmatic to provide voting machine systems for the presidential recall election, even though it would have been the company's first time providing machines for an election. Can you imagine that? And that is from a press release from a Democrat House member who's still in office, who just nails him. Now, Smartmatic was a little-known firm with no expertise in voting technology before it was chosen by the Venezuelan authorities to replace the country's election machinery ahead of a contentious referendum that confirmed Mr. Chavez as president in August 2004. And you remember Chavez? He's the guy who got up and insulted George Bush and said that he smelled saltpeter or sulfur or whatever when trying to suggest that Bush was a devil. He basically called him a devil at one of these interstate meetings. So Smartmatic teamed up with Venezuela and BITSA, the Venezuelan software company BITSA, which was at the time about a third owned by Chavez's government. Now, this is really totally bizarre. And then in the 2004 election, the recount in Venezuela seems like it was rigged for Chavez. And Chavez controlled all the voting equipment, and which included some of Smartmatic's machines. So when Chavez won, Venezuelan mathematicians challenged the results that showed him to be consistently strong in parts of the country where he had weak support. The mathematicians found a very subtle algorithm that appeared to adjust the vote in Chavez's favor. And there were paper ballots that were at that time produced. And so they looked at the paper ballots. And he put out a list of the computers that could be audited, and those computers passed. Now, there was another thing that these guys did in some of their, and they're involved in elections across the world. And in, I think it was in the Philippines, they had used computers that were not verified. And so that got people really angry. Why in the hell are you going outside of the system? Well, you can imagine. United States investigated Sequoia 2006, and then Smartmatic sold Sequoia because of the controversy in December 2006, And so the question is still out there. Was it a scam? Were they trying to hoax the regulators? And so you're never going to overcome the fact that Smartmatic was started off as a communist partner with Chavez. So Smartmatic still owns the Sequoia software. So even though they got rid of the company, they took all this stuff out of it. And so what happened there is now seen as a sham election or a sham vote. Now, in 2007, the California Secretary of State asked the Computer Security Group at UC Santa Barbara to analyze Sequoia's voting machines and found a number of serious security issues that could be exploited by a determined attacker to modify or invalidate the results of an election. And so that's hacking. So they're open to hacking. Now, if they're online, they're really just sitting ducks there, right? So, and let me check my thing and see if anybody's calling in. Nobody's calling in, but your call-in number is 516-387-1963. That's 516-387-1963. Okay, so getting back. The researchers found in 2007 virtually every important software security mechanism is vulnerable to circumvention. Any machine can be hacked online. So California withdrew approval of Sequoia, but then reapproved them with conditions, which didn't make any sense to me. But the machines are still being used in the United States, I think. So New York in 2008 found problems with 50% of the 1,500 image cast optical scan machines that Sequoia voting systems delivered to the state. Think about that. Half. Year before, Sequoia was identified as the company that had supplied the notorious faulty punch cards during the 2000 election. And so, and people told, workers told Dan Rather that Sequoia had changed the paper stock before the election and knew in advance the punch cards would cause problems. So in other words, they wanted problems and they got problems, and it almost threw the election towards Gore. You know, one of the problems with the way Gore's team approached it is they only wanted to recount where there were a lot of Democrats, which didn't really hold up. So in 2010, Canadian company Dominion Voting bought Sequoia and some of the assets of another major player, Diebold Election. And Diebold was once called Global Election System. And so they were the second largest voting machine vendor in the United States. So I guess, wouldn't that make Smartmatic the number one? They controlled about 50% of the voting market, and their revenue was between $1 and $2 billion. And I think the revenue of Smartmatic, this guy owned by Lord Brown, was $600 million last year. So I don't know where all the money went, but now, listen to this. Diebold entered the voting machine business in 2002 by acquiring Global Election Systems, a company whose senior vice president programmer, Jeffrey Dean, was a convicted felon who had served time for sophisticated crimes involving computer tampering. Can you believe that? I mean, it's just incredible. He was a senior programmer of Diebold Gems, and which is the tabular system counting a third of the votes in the Bush-Kerry election, 37 states. He has a police record. He pled guilty to 23 counts of embezzlement involving sophisticated manipulation of computer accounting records, according to the New York Times. So Global had brought on Dean shortly before the 2000 election. Later, it hired a convicted drug trafficker who Dean had met in prison. And so Dean's criminal past was discovered. by election integrity advocate and Black Bloc voting author Beverly Harris. And Dean was the biggest shareholder in Global that time. And so wow. So anyway, Dean was in total control of this company. Dean wrote and maintained code used to count hundreds of thousands of votes. According to The Guardian, Dean also, UK Guardian, programmed the GEMS central tabular system. Diebold controlled in 2004 50% of the electronic voting market. And so Georgia, the election board, was given a copy of Dean's convictions but took no action. And that may have been why Dean left the company. But he's got to be worth tens of millions right now if he's still alive. So Dominion bought Sequoia and Diebold Premier's assets. So is there a relationship? There is a relationship between Smartmatic and there all of these the voting system world is very small and it's all incestuous, right? So anyway, looking for anything else that you might, and then there ESNS, which was told that it had too much control in 2010, nation's largest voting machine maker, using 43 steps, and the government made them doing about 50% of the votes of the last four major elections and in 2009. And so they told ESNS that they had to diversify. They had to, you know, break it up a little bit. And so they did. And that's how Dominion ended up with more cut of the pie. And let's see what else here. The Hunt family was involved somehow. And there was some Christian activists, billionaire Nelson Bunker Hunt, Christian activist Paul Weyrich, Reverend Tim LaHaye, head of the Moral Majority, and a businessman, a one-time murder suspect, T. Cullen Davis. And wealthy John Bircher Williams Cease, C-I-E-S, and they have stated that there was kind of a Christian cult or a far-right group, and that's the group right there that was involved. So they're, I guess, trying to fight back against all the corruption. So, all right. So if all that stuff doesn't alarm you, it looks like these machines and this software has been used repeatedly to defraud elections, and that they worked on it. They perfected it overseas or in South America. Now, Lord Brown was the head of, he was the number two at United Nations, and then he got out and he joined this company. And they had, I found some, let's see here. I found where they had bought in 2010, they made a recommendation that Zambia buy these machines. And it was just a year, I think it was just a year after. So, you know, Lord Brown is using his connections. He pretends he's worth $1.5 million. If he owns this machine company, he's worth a hell of a lot more than that. Or the other argument would be that George Soros is the owner. So what do you think of that? I mean, is that exciting or what? So now hacking. Now you're getting to a different level of activity when you talk about, and the number here, by the way, 516-387-1963, 516-387-1963. You're talking about another level of activity. And so there's two ways to approach this. And one is, if it is corrupt from the inside, and their whole purpose, and that's what a lot of people, that's probably what most people think, is these machines were set up in such a way as to, if Biden fell behind, you know, they could, I guess in this case, shut down the shop and then reboot the machine so that they could start throwing the votes. Now, the other possibility, which I guess is, you know, it makes just as much sense as some super genius hacked their way in. So, I mean, what is it? Here's the thing. You had too many votes switching. You know, you had leads changing at the very, very end of the race, and it made no sense. So, and, you know, in these things, stories show up, and they're either true or they're false, or they're somewhat true or mostly false. But did tens or hundreds of thousands of votes show up just for one person, Biden? I don't know. I mean, if it didn't happen, it doesn't mean that it wasn't a corrupt election. It just seems corrupt. And so that's one of the things there that you have to, you know, look at, is this idea that there's corruption, and you can name it anything you want, but it certainly seems like it's corrupt, and there's just no other way about it. So anyway, if you look at all the mistakes that have occurred, then that's one thing. And you can say, well, it's a machine. It's bound to break under so much stress, that type of thing. But what if you look at it from the other way? From the very beginning, these machines have been wonky. They've been glitchy. They have not done what they were supposed to. How do you explain the million extra votes in Venezuela? And all the other races, and they had problems in Georgia with this. And so in 2019, the people were actually promoting a campaign to get rid of Dominion. So I think that the Democrats would do anything that they could to get rid of Trump. They've already shown that. And in addition, Soros has shown, in his 90th year, he has shown that he is he can't go to his grave without taking over America. Now, here's a question. Why didn't they ban George Soros from the United States? Why didn't they take away his citizenship? He's not from here. And so why not? I mean, he's only harmed America, and he's so pompous. So now we've got Barr. He hands prosecutors the authority to investigate voter fraud claims, and the Democrats are up in arms. And the sad thing is, the Democrats, because they're so one-sided, they're so corrupt, they can't even admit that they had, there was anything unusual about this, you know, and they're saying that they, could still get Arizona, even though, so, you know, the way this played out, it was crazy. And, it was crazy in the sense that states were called very early for Joe Biden, and states were not called ever for Trump, you know. And so when did that happen? And here's an article. Fox News blew it. Grassroots backlash is overwhelming. So think about this. Neil Cavuto yesterday cuts off the spokesman for the president, who says that we believe that there could have been vote tampering. And so Neil Cavuto says, I'm not going to deal with this. And so they just cut her. Now, this is the spokesman. So think about this. You've got the beginning problems of the Facebook and the Twitter banning the, you know, doing their censorship. And now it's just suddenly multiplied. And so now it looks like Fox could take a significant hit, but you can't hide people, you know, long-term person in the spotlight every day. You can't hide who you are. It comes out like Neil Cavuto. I mean, people have complained for a long time about Neil Cavuto and, you know, didn't stop him. And so, you know, I think that there's, at some level, there's an interest in having fair and balanced or having more than one opinion on Fox, but they don't try to do that on other shows. So, you know, what are you going to say? So Neil Cavuto's now kind of let himself out of the closet. And I'm sure all of these guys just are thrilled when they have an opportunity to, let people know how left is there. And the reason that is, I believe from the bottom of my heart, is it's because it's religious in nature. They're in the same way a Christian standing up, giving their testimony or saying, you know, I'm not going to drink this beer or sleep with that girl. I'm a Christian. They feel just as thrilled with standing up for what they believe, which is leftism. And I think that it's their minds just every bit as precious as that, you know? So I don't know, man. This is the craziest time to be alive. I think what we have to do is demand that the Supreme Court adopt this, and we've got about 10 minutes left here, but call in number 516-387-1963. Call in and give your opinion. I don't even know if anybody's listening right now, but, you know, the things that are going on are going to change everything, and I think that the right has had years and years to deal with this stuff, and it's just ignored it, and it's ignored it under the mistaken theory, if we're nice, they will be nice to us. And they say, well, here is at Fox News, Brett Baer deletes tweet that exposed exploding backlash against Fox News. The Fox News channel, Brett Baer has deleted a tweet, proved that the backlash against the disgraced cable news network has exploded. On Saturday, they were noting how much anger there was at Fox. And so you can't hide it. You can't hide what's going on. And so we're in a situation where there has obviously been fraud. We know there's been fraud because that's really the only way to explain what happened. So how much fraud was there? But you know what? At a certain level, it doesn't matter. You can say, well, don't blame, you know, Joe Biden for this. He didn't know. I guarantee you, no. He's the one who got up there in his dementia and said, we've created the biggest fraudulent campaign in history. You know, so it is not anything to doubt. And so the question is now, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this? And we have to fight back, but it's not physically, but we have to call our congressmen, our representatives. We have to get in touch with Washington, with the White House, and give them our support. And what else are you going to do? I mean, where did this idea come from that you've got to worship the status quo? You can't make any waves. This is the Republicans' theory is we'll get them next time. What if there is no next time? What if this one vote destroys democracy in America? You know, I mean, it is really terrible what is going on. And so, you know, you do what you can, what you have to do. You do what you can live with, but, you know, you have to make a statement. You have to make a statement. You have to make a stand. And is there any way to do that without, you know, you make an omelet by breaking eggs? That doesn't mean that you break the law. But, you know, I think that what people act like they got away with it. It doesn't matter. You can't, you know, speaking of which, you can't unbreak an egg. And the fact of the matter is that it's not over yet. These votes are not counted by the media. They are counted by the government. They're, you know, it's the Electoral College. It's state by state. So, you know, Trump has had an incredible run, but he was halfway through. The reason that he had to be stopped, I would argue, is because he was going to get justice from all these people that had gone after him. Well, there's been no justice so far. Even the people that have been exposed as totally corrupt, people who got up and lied and said in public that there's a lot of evidence for, you know, collusion. And then in private, under oath, they all said, no, we haven't seen one bit of evidence that Trump is colluding. So all those people were exposed. But because the fact that, you know, Trump was, he was tricked by Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions didn't want any part of standing up to these people. But he took the attorney general job and then didn't tell afterwards he was going to recuse himself. So it left 3 years the Department of Justice underneath the Democrats. And then he appointed Christopher Wray. Christopher Wray is just another party man. He had a laptop that would have not only stopped the impeachment, but it would have kept Joe Biden out of the White House. And there's no American patriotism left in the FBI at the upper level. And I dare I say at the Department of Justice, you know, they've resisted every single request for evidence. And it's just made it agonizing. So we've still got this runoff in Georgia, believe it or not, for both senators. And let me just read you a couple of the headlines. Media should not have called the election. Of course, that's not their job. Another person says Trump's lawsuits won't make a difference. How the hell would this guy know? Trump's vote count lawsuits, the election endgame. A Biden block party begins in New York City. White House rips post-election timing on vaccine. So what happens is they've got this vaccine that they put together, and they wait until the president. They wait until the president leaves, or symbolically leaves. I guess he's still in office. Now the Democrats are taking credit for the. For the virus vaccine. You know, what do you expect? If you can't make your own, you gotta steal it from somebody else. So another issue that we've got to deal with, they're suing Google, but don't they need to sue? Don't they need to get rid of the protection for Facebook and the protection for Twitter, because they're using it against the American people? Of the purpose is to increase free speech, not get rid of it. Now, you've got to accept this idea that the Republicans are way up in the House, and I think one of the reasons of that is Pelosi was seen as so not just biased, because all of these people have a certain level of bias. They're in a party, but she made it personal. She went after the president. She repeatedly disrespected him. You notice she's not talking now, and she just got very ugly, irrational. She did everything to try to harm the president, and it didn't help the country, because while COVID is festering, the president has to fight back against impeachment. And the same thing with Russia. Russia was totally made up, and all of these people in the government knew it. And those are the people that should be prosecuted, including Nancy Pelosi and including Schiff. So, you know, it's got to come out what happened. And I think what needs to happen is the United States Supreme Court needs to accept the fact that there is something that's going on that's bigger than any one state. And it looks like it could be a collusion to steal votes. In the meantime, there was this law that I had mentioned yesterday, and I can't remember the name of it, but I'm sure if I sniff around, I'd run into it. But it is a law that says certain things can't happen by accident. Certain patterns of numbers don't come up without help. And so had a guy go through about a 20-minute video, and he didn't seem like he was of one side or the other, but he just was doing this investigation. And he said, I'm just trying to see if I can find the name of it, but let me see if I can look up. Let me see here. If I can look this up, and I'm running out of time. I've got about 2 minutes left here, but, well, I'm not going to be able to right now. I'll bring it up tomorrow. But anyway, you've got stuff going on in everything like this that occurs that is not taken care of is highly damaging, because what it feeds into people is this idea is it was a fake election. Trump obviously won because nobody ever came to a Biden event. And yet we're supposed to believe that Biden gets more votes than anybody in history, including Obama. So we've got to push back. We've got to get rid of all of this stuff. We have got to stand up for ourselves and push back to whatever extent we can. Now, we've got to fix the voting and election process in this country. I have an idea on that. I'm going to write an article on it. But, well, anyway, thanks for joining me. It could be by podcast later, but I really appreciate it. And I hope you have a wonderful day. And we'll see you tomorrow. Kelly O'Connell Show at 7 in the morning here and wherever you're at, anywhere else. Ciao. I've been drifting on the sea of heartbreak.